6 o'clock. We have the administration committee meeting for Wednesday, November 17th. We have Alderman Lewis, Alderman Trier, myself. We have staff, we have Bart, we have Aaron, our minute-taker Marlis, and we have our guest Mike Alicia.
Insurance broker.
And we will be amending the agenda to bring just number 6 up to the beginning in order to accommodate Mike. So first, any citizens' comments? We have no one in the room and nobody online. We have a set of minutes from October 20th, 2021. Any comments on those? Then we will take those approved as presented. New business, we're going to go directly to number 6, admin 2021-48, liability insurance renewal.
Okay, we've got a nice memo in the packet from Rob, which outlines the overview of the quote and what we did as far as direct marketing it to Glatfelter, who's been our low-cost insurance provider for a number of years. And I'll let Mike get into the details here in a second. But we always have the conversation every year about whether we want to shop this thing comprehensively or go straight to our existing carrier. Mike said that we had a couple claims from the past that are going to roll off next year, and so based on the instability in the market in general, because of a lot of things that are happening, I didn't recommend that we go out to full bid this year, but we probably will recommend that next year because our claim history will be a little better and hopefully the insurance market will be a little bit better. With that, I'll turn it over to Mike, who's going to give us a brief overview of the proposal.
Thank you, Bart. Good evening, everyone. As Bart mentioned, we decided to hold off on doing a full quarter press on the marketing this year. The market is exceptionally bad right now. And then you'd probably be like, well, why aren't you marketing it? So what we have seen in this past year and currently going on is not much is moving from the incumbents. 99.9% is staying with the incumbent market. We were able to get direction from the incumbent market early on to see if that was something we'd like to do. And when looking at their numbers, I compared them to the full marketing exercise we did 2 years ago, of which the only two indications that we received from other carriers were more than what we're paying right now. So if that's the case, most people were getting 10 to 20% increases last year, and then add that on to this year, my expert opinion is I wouldn't have been able to touch that. The United City of Yorkville has been with Glatfelter for about 10 years, and we've gone through 3 or 4 full marketing circles or cycles, and no one has been able to come anywhere close to touching Glatfelter throughout these years. Even the biggest carrier, Illinois County's Risk Management Trust that we have access to, couldn't even touch it last year. I think they were 20 or 30,000 higher last year. So what that means is if they were 20, 30,000 higher last year, they would be the same this year. The market is beyond exceptionally tough. Any questions on the market? So the idea is that you have a large claim. That large claim was settled under where the reserve was put up, where the total incurred was. So the attorneys did a fantastic job, and the city did a fantastic job of getting this settled. So we have that big claim on it. So that was the other reason why we decided not to market. We sent it out to everybody this year. They're going to decline because of that claim. Because it was definitely in the six figures. And we can see that in a minute. Your account next year, by way of losses and loss experience, will look exceptionally clean next year without that loss. So if I send something out this year to the marketplace, and again next year, they're going to go back and look at it next, what we sent this year. next year when they market it. And what they're going to see is that loss on there. So they're not going to forget about it. That's why I want them to forget about it. They'll look at their notes, why they didn't quote it, why they didn't get it last year. It just makes more sense not to show them our hand of cards this year. And as I mentioned, Glatfelter's always been a good partner to the United City of Yorkville. And we're just not seeing much moved unless there's a big claim issue. And the United City of Yorkville does not have a big claim issue. I've used this tactic on a number of my other insureds over the last few years, and it has proven to work for the insured. So looking forward to rolling up our sleeves, getting out early next year, and hopefully get some really good competitive quotes back. And that's basically the plan. I could go through all the details of the proposal, or I'll follow your lead.
Does anybody want a more detailed discussion on the proposal?
No.
Or we could go right to the losses and the premium.
Let's go to that. Yeah, we don't need to get into
Just minimal property increases and auto increases. Cyber, one thing that we'll talk about, Bart and I, over the last 2 days have been discussing cyber. The current carrier throws in the cyber. They provide $1 million cyber liability. Bart posed an excellent question the other day. He's like, all right, $1 million, but what's our cyber deception? What's our extortion? We found that out that it was $20,000, which is exceptionally low for cyber. So what are we doing right now? We're in the process of marketing your cyber, but if there is a tough, if not the toughest class of business right now is cyber, due to all the well-known cyber breaches, the pipeline, the meatpacking, Google just got hacked, all of that is throwing the market into a frenzy. It's absolutely atrocious right now. So I am unable to get cyber quotes unless each of my clients have four main protocols. Encryption, multi-factor authentication, or MFA, vulnerability testing, as well as employee training. So Bart and I were on the phone today, and we went through the application, and the United City of Yorkville has three of the four with you already in process of getting the multi-factor authentication to be completed by January. So what the plan is once the MFA, multi-factor authentication, is pushed out to everybody, we are going to get another quote, trying to resurrect the quote we have right now. The quote we have right now from another carrier, not your package carrier, isn't valid because we checked the box that you did have MFA. And then it would be implemented by 12/31. Bart called your IT provider and found out it wouldn't get done until the end of January. So at the end of January, or when your MFA gets implemented, we're going to jump on this right away and replace the coverage you currently have with Glatfelter with a $1 million liability policy that also extends coverage to extortion and cyber extortion to $1 million. And that's what we want. Your deductibles are going to be between $5,000 and $2,500. So that's pretty easy to do. Once we do that, we'll cancel the coverage with your current carrier. Your current carrier on an annual basis is charging about $870 for this coverage. That's exceptionally low right now, but it really doesn't, it just provides $1 million for liability and 20,000 for the cyber extortion, which really isn't a heck of a lot. The price that's coming in right now is, bear with me a second, is $8,064. We are out to a number of other carriers, so in my opinion, that's about where the pricing was or where it should be. This time last year, that price would be cut in half to about $4,000. Cyber's basically doubling, and you're going to see probably double-digit increases for the foreseeable future at the rate of 20%, 30%, 40%, 50% each year. It's that crazy out there. So that's all I wanted to talk about that. We could go right into the claims, and I'll show you that claim that's going to fall off. That's on page 9 of the proposal. Not sure if you have that open.
Yeah, I've got it up on the big screen here.
The 2016-2017 year, there's the law enforcement claim as well as the auto claim. Once that falls off, that's going to drop your loss ratio well below 40%. Your loss ratio right now is about staying. It really is. And when the market can't beat the premium, I know that we have the best price. When we go to market it next year, it's going to look even better, to where carriers are, I hope, are going to roll up their sleeves. A lot of carriers are being lazy right now. They know they're going to get their increases off renewals alone, because that's what the market's dictating. We're losing carriers, we're losing capacity pretty much every month, and carriers just don't want to write in Illinois. You guys are pushed out farther of the collar counties, but you know, I'm having issues through Will County. Those communities in there because of its proximity to the city. And then the whole state as itself, there are two carriers based here that won't break it. It's pretty crazy. Any questions with regards to the losses?
No questions.
You know, one thing I can say, and I might have said it the last few years, is you're a model community when it comes to looking at your loss experience and your proactiveness. Your staff reaches out, asks great questions, and asks for input, and it's right there in your loss. It's a community your size, knock on wood. You don't see a community with losses this low, and that's it's absolutely fantastic. Next page is your premium summary. In the memo, I believe Rob mentioned the average increases we're seeing are between 10 and 20%. You guys are below, you guys are below that at 8.78. And within that 8.78, there is some exposure increase there. I'd say about 3 to 4% to be conservative. So without that exposure increase, rate alone and market alone, we would have been at a little over 4%, which is exceptional for a community of your size with a police department. And that's the presentation.
Just a couple quick things. The MFA, the multi-factor authentication, we had authorized that actually last month as part of our IT consortium's just review of strategic plans. That's basically whenever we have a changed password, like for our normal email addresses, it requires, you know, a text message or an email confirmation basically that you're that person. And a lot of insurance companies and municipalities are dealing with that and implementing it because it is basically a standard requirement in order to have any coverage for ransomware going forward. Two, I told the Public Works Committee at last night's meeting, so this is new for the three of you, that the insurance claim on the street sweeper that started on fire, which had a repair bill of about $75,000, did come in at about $30,000 to $35,000 in value. So it's depreciated that much. It's a 17-year-old street sweeper that costs, you know, somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000 is what we're looking at for a replacement. We will have that in front of you here in the next couple meetings for consideration of purchase. The current staff recommendation that I think we can do administratively is we're going to take that insurance payout, basically minus the salvage value of the vehicle, and actually take the vehicle back, take the street sweeper components off of it, use it as a truck that'll have a different use than a street sweeper. And so basically running around with a free truck and $25,000 hopefully at the end of it. Mike and his staff was instrumental. They reviewed the claim from the insurance company. They basically had, you know, advocated for us, increased it by, I think, a couple thousand dollars after all was said and done. They looked at maintenance plans and the repairs that we just put into it to try to up the value, but they didn't agree that it was worth $75,000. So that's something we have to deal with at a later date. And I think that was everything on insurance that I wanted to share. So.
Sounds good. Any comments or thoughts? I know on the cyber insurance side of things, sitting on KenCon, we're going through this process, and I'll attest to the doubling of cost. You know, KenCon went through the same thing. It was about $4,500 last year. This year it's about $500. So there's a twofold increase. However, we even saw at KenCon a reduction of the policy from 3 million to 1 million because of the renewals and their lack of willingness to hold to it. So everything that you guys went through, the four requirements, same thing, the multi-factor authentication, it's all there, that's everything. This is something I know I talked to you about, Bart, that's I want to make certain that we were up on. It's becoming more and more prevalent. Cal County just had an issue, so it is very close to home. I want to make sure that we are covered in that. Again, I don't want to do a problem where coming from day.
You're not going to have a computer system. So
this is instrumental, and you have $20,000, nothing if we would be able to get us a cup of coffee that morning. So I appreciate it, Mike and Bart. Thank you for getting into this and making sure that we have a plan in place to get the coverage if we should ever need it. So, anybody else have any other questions or comments on the insurance renewal?
No. I just had a question about the budgeting for it. Is this something planned for the increases in the premiums, or is this something we're going to deal with when we pass the budget next year?
The increase in the premium, I think that we had assumed an 8%, so we're right there.
Okay.
So that'll be easily absorbed in other line items.
So we don't have to go through any amendments right
now. Any other comments on this one? We will send this out to council for the admin agenda item. I appreciate the time, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Bart. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your time. Have a good evening.
You too. All right, back to the normal order of things. Admin 2021-43 budget report for October 2021.
Yeah, I don't have anything specific to share other than, in general, I've mentioned to Chris, our sales tax performance is still, on average, anywhere from 10 to 30%, sometimes even 40% above the 2020 numbers, which were 10 to 40% above 2019 because of the pandemic. So things are exceedingly good on the revenue side still for us. To the point where the way we do budgeting and auditing and the timing of it, we always end up being kind of one step behind, you know, with conservative estimating and then getting figures in and then not having an opportunity for another year basically to true those up. And so I think at this point, given the actual performance that we've seen, it's probably time to true it up mid-year and, you know, still leave it relatively conservative, maybe assume like a 10% year-over-year increase. And then maybe make a policy going forward where just anything above that just gets dumped into capital for either building issues or roads or vehicles, you know, to kind of knock off our budget proposal issues for the year forward. So I would anticipate that in December we'll probably have something to be able to talk about both performance estimates and then maybe setting that figure at least internally. Probably won't do a budget estimate, but setting it going forward.
Yeah, that second part of where that access goes into, that's definitely something. reserve that we set that special for, that that's something that we have known. It doesn't just automatically go to capital and then be distributed. Do we want to hold that as a special account?
Just in case.
Yes. So that might be something to think about as we go with this. So, appreciate that. Anything else on the budget report? All right. Next item, add in 2021-44, Treasurer's report for October 21.
Rob is on vacation today. He said that there wasn't really anything of note within it, other than reciting the numbers, which I would prefer not to do as long as you're okay with. If anybody has any questions, I'm happy to take them. So.
With that, we'll just provide Marlis a copy of the monthly report.
Yes.
Any questions on the Treasurer's report? That's good. Reminding that these do have to go up to the council. I don't have to get a version.
The treasurer's report does. Okay. The rest of them do not.
Anybody have an issue with that going to consent? All right, we'll place that on consent. All right, admin 2021-45 cash statement for August 2021.
Same report from Rob. So nothing of note from this year or for this month.
Any questions on our statements? Very similar to every other month prior. Sounds good. Thank you. Admin 2021-46 website report for October 2021.
The report is in packet. You do see that we are falling off of our high of hometown days. We still do have a good amount of views and items on social media just between events through the end of the year. But you see how much higher we are than this time last year because we are doing so many more events this year as opposed to last year due to COVID. Anybody has any questions? I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. That's good. Appreciate the information here. Thank you. Next item, admin 2021-47, auditor RFP.
Our audit contract is up. We've been with Lauterbach Neiman now for 2 5-year terms, doing an RFP 5 years ago even. So we're proposing to go out to bid again. While I think we've internally kind of said it might be nice to switch things up so we have a fresh set of eyes, we did tell Lauterbach that there's no prohibition on them applying, so we can make the decision later if we want to change it up. They did say that their proposal would likely include, you know, a change of partner or somebody else so that it's not the same exact staff looking at it, which I think is reasonable, but we'll see where everybody else comes in at. The request for proposals does not actually have to be approved by City Council. We're sending it to you just so you know what we're doing. And in general, the format and the content of the RFP is the same as it was 5 years ago, except Chanel, our purchasing manager, has inserted more online components for the bidding process, and she'll be taking over a portion of that during the collection, the bid collection phase. Other than that, I have nothing else to report on it.
Anybody have any questions on this one? I know it's not required to go for council approval, but I wouldn't mind going on the regular agenda since it's been 5 years, so that it's kind of drawn to their attention more than consent. Does anyone have objection? All right, we'll place that on the regular admin. Thank you. Next item, this is a long one, or I'll have to read all these.
Yeah, there's a
2021-49 bond abatement ordinances.
Yes, there's 8 ordinances associated with our alternate revenue bonds, which are generally bonds that we've pledged revenue towards to pay, and as long as that revenue continues to come in, everything is great, and if not, then we're allowed to increase property taxes, which we had to do 5-10 years ago. We do not propose to do any of that, so a total abatement means that none of them will go on the property taxes this year, and this is what we've been doing now. I think this is the 4th or the 5th year in a row that we've done full abatement, so shouldn't be any issue there because it's not hitting property taxes.
Anybody have any questions on any of the 8, or any questions on what they are, which ones?
No, sir.
Okay. So,
what would be the same question?
Was that
the same question?
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. And I know there's a lot there for us as we get into these. I know it's kind of we know them, we learn them, we don't question them too much because we know a lot of the public would probably say that.
We'll start asking them.
Exactly.
So yeah, we get to our discussion.
Yep.
All right, so that's we will place on the admin agenda from council. And moving on to Avenue 2021-50 special service area abatement ordinances.
So similar concept, we have SSAs and SSA bonds in place. And those ordinances have a maximum tax that can be levied. And so each year we have to go through and actually abate a portion of that levy depending on how much money we need. Cutting to the chase, that first page chart that Rob put together with all six SSAs in there provides a summary of what people are actually going to see on their property taxes. So some years this has been a rocky conversation. During the recession, if people don't pay their property taxes, then there's not enough money to be able to make the bond payments, which means that everybody else in the subdivision has to pick up the slack. But this year, all these are inflationary increases. I know some of them are in the 5 range, and there's ones that are 3s and 2s and 1s. Each calculation is done by our SSA administrators. And in general, what happens is we've seen elsewhere, investments have been a little rocky. And so there's a limited amount of funds in each bond that are invested and basically gain interest. And because the interest market has fallen off, our normal interest earnings have also fallen off, which means the amount that people pay per year has gone slightly up because the interest amounts are lower. So that is the explanation for the 5s and the 3s as opposed to the 1. Just those bond funds and whoever's administering them didn't have high enough yield interest earnings compared to what's been the case the past few years, and so the amount of the property taxes is slightly higher than the others.
Anybody have a question on these ones? I always saw some increase then, but it's necessary in order to keep up the payments. All right. So with that, place that on the admin agenda. No one has any questions. Or do we have any of these we want to place on the consent?
I put them on the agenda.
All right.
So just in case someone's listening.
Don't want us to be perceived as hiding it, you know, sneaking.
Most of the people that buy the properties, they know that this is what
I'm saying. I'm reading them anyway, so.
That's true.
That's why you said that. Admin 2021-51, ordinance for the amended levy assessment of taxes for the fiscal year beginning May 1 and ending April 31 for SSA number 2004-201 Fox Hill.
Okay, so for Fox Hill, the same maintenance plans as previous years is carried forward. You know, we talked about it at Public Works last night. Nobody had any changes to the maintenance plan. So that's a new thing that we're doing this year. So we're making sure that we're saying, should we be doing more tree trimming or grass cutting or planting flowers or something? And everybody said current is fine. So in order to do that, based on our estimates and the maintenance packages, we'll get bid out whenever the contracts come up. We are proposing $97.29 per home this year, and that's per year. And then tentatively $108 next year, $119 the year before to build up the negative fund equity that's in each project to pay down some long-term issues. Of note on Fox Hill, I don't know if you saw in the memo, but we filed the ordinance correctly last year to make the dollar amount, I think it was like $84. It was going from $72 per home up to $84 last year. And the county had misentered within the tax computation reports in the spring half of those figures. So they had one figure correct and one not. We didn't catch it either after they sent it. And so everybody's property taxes last year actually stayed at the $72 amount. So no harm done. We lost out on like $2,600 in revenue. We'll make that up later. Not a huge deal for us. So the jump will be from $72 up to $97 per home this year. But people are actually $12 ahead in general from where they should have been paying last year.
Bargain.
Yeah, the fact that it's not being stepped over 2 years, they got to save us from 1 year.
Yep.
So, okay. Normally, I would say, let's look at the change percent wise, but they got to recruit. So,
they didn't complain when they got the recruit, but do you expect phone calls from they get the new amount?
No, the only calls we ever get on any of these is just like they didn't do the tree trimming right, or I think that you should be replacing trees or putting in an ornamental flower or something, and it's usually one or two people. And then when you say, well, it's not in the budget, we can talk about it next year, they usually understand. So
the only time we had calls on complaints was significant increase after we did the first round of major repairs. I mean, it was a substantial jump, but keep in mind they were paying $35.
Yeah, it was less than $50 a year or something.
It goes from $30 to $60 a year. Okay, it's doubling, but it's still not. All right, any questions or comments on the Fox Hill? What's the same?
Nope.
We shall move that forward to the admin agenda. And then our last regular business is admin 2021-52. I'm just going to skip to them. This is the Sunflower Estates SSA.
Yep, so same concept. We're not changing any of the maintenance. This one is slightly more because they have ponds to maintain in the subdivision. It is recommended to be at $179.49 this year, which is no change from the year prior, stepping up to $188 next year, potentially, but you have to vote on that again. So same concept as the last one.
This one, when does the, so we did some work on Sunflower. Has all that work been paid off, or is there still some residual?
There's still a residual. It is in the amount of, it's $8,400 in negative fund equity currently. So, I mean, the cost of those, it was pond naturalization, and it was 7-8 years ago now at this point, if I remember correctly. It was like a $60,000-$65,000 expenditure on top of that. So they've chipped away at it. And the way we've got both of these SSAs running is we want to build the fund balance up so that we can, you know, not have those increases. So eventually this will tail off at kind of the normal level. And then when you have to do pond naturalization again, it'll just be basically a vote of the city council and probably no change in rates going forward is how we prefer to do it.
So in like 2 years, once it's paid off, we're not going to see just a drop off of these extra fees, we're going to see just a kind of a balance of that because we have a health reserve for ongoing maintenance. So makes sense. It's just I look at what their fees are and still they're not unreasonable.
So unlike other HOAs, really good.
Absolutely. I mean, they might be paying twice this a month. So all right, that we will then send to admin. City Council with no objections. All right, thank you. Old business, admin 2021-41, 2011 bond refinance discussion.
This is just a continuation of the agenda item we've been reviewing at City Council and here. Nothing has changed with the underlying bond ordinances or timing. We do expect that it'll be December 13th or 14th for that City Council meeting for approval, and then we're on our way. I did send out the email a couple weeks ago based on the email that Chris had forwarded from the person that was objecting to the public hearing notice, and I think in general the taxation part of it. But we did clear it with bond counsel and municipal attorney that the steps that we've already taken only had to be done for the new issuance, not the refinancing part, which jives with my memory after it was explained to me too. Whenever we do refinancing, we always talk about it in a committee, but it's basically one city council vote. It's basically just, you know, here are the terms, go out and save the money, and then it's done.
This is just on your information and discussion. Else on this one? All right. Anybody have any additional business? Yeah.
Has the city thought about how to go and try to capture some of the infrastructure money that the federal government just passed?
Yeah, we have our state and federal lobbyists are monitoring the different components of it. Interestingly enough, the information is just starting to trickle down that because of the state capital bill that was approved a couple years ago, we're probably going to be able to leverage some of those larger programs to get more federal money than what's normally allocated to us. So I'm hoping that we will have some pretty good opportunities both for the train and for water. So it seems pretty I don't know if straightforward or promising is the right word, but that's what it seems to a layperson, that we're going to be able to get pretty easy access to WIFIA loans, which are low interest EPA loans, for some of the funding for the water project. And I mean, that in itself is a, you know, burdensome process that our lobbyists are aware of and have done before and are going to help us through, including achieving that funding. It's not, you know, it's not a competitive process, but it's not a slam dunk that anybody can just go and apply and get awarded. And then, you know, all the rest of the programs are still kind of being, you know, funded and talked about and created and discussed. And so, you know, there's some limited, you know, either train or water programs that might be able to fit now, but I think the talk is that they're going to take a lot of that money and funnel it into new programs, similar to how we saw with that downtown grant that we've been talking about at City Council. You know, that's all new from the state. So they get a pot of money and then they start divvying it up into different programs and, you know, kind of just hit your email box and you look at it and go, okay, I've never heard of this before. This one must be new, and off you go.
Sounds good. Anybody else have anything? I've got two. One, something on the budget that I want us to take a look at is our alignments for professional services and dues and subscriptions. So over the course of the past few years, we've seen a lot of transitions from software, hardware being actually purchased to being monthly subscription-based types of things. And as I've seen changes over the past years, a lot more is just being lumped in because they're now subscriptions, but they're still professional services, but maybe they're not really professional services. So those are usually contracts or different things. So I want to take a look at, are we staying current with trends of the finances as to how they're being attributed. So I want us to take that into consideration as we are looking at our budget.
Sure.
And just stay on top of that so that we're not inappropriately lumping things together that really might need to be broken out just because it sometimes kind of creeped into our systems. So that's that. And then as we get into redistricting, we talked about that at council. I think good for us to kind of keep an eye on that in the committee and kind of see how that moves forward as we get our information, you know, from the state block information, model that through. We just keep an eye on that. I know we have some opportunities to individually model that to see how it works and just have that discussion before it does.
Speaking of that, possible increases in alderman. Do we know when we're
going to
have
a
replacement
for Jackie? Yeah, I believe that it'll be Tuesday. So, and I believe the intent is that he's going to pick somebody like tomorrow. So when I had talked to him on Monday or Tuesday, he had not picked anybody. He was down to three or four people. I don't know who those three or four people are. And he was talking about, like, there were still some questions he had for people and, like, things that he had to go cross-reference, you know, in order to pick somebody. So he said that he will have it on Thursday for packets for a Tuesday vote. So nothing would lead me to the contrary at this point.
Do we, as aldermen, can we reach out to this nominee and discuss with them issues and things?
So in the past, that answer has been yes. I mean, anybody can talk to anybody, you know, freedom, you know, to reach out and gather your own information. The sticky part of it is always it's the mayor's appointment. So you can talk to that person. You might think that somebody is better, but the person in front of you is basically yes or no vote. And so, you know, probably better to just talk to the mayor, you know, himself about questions you have or something. In addition to talking to the person, so.
Just to clarify, it's not just a yes or no. It is a confirmation of the council. There are the opportunities to have two rejections of the candidate, and the third would be an automatic. Is that, or is it three rejections?
Two rejections, and then he gets unilaterally to pick. Yeah. But the person that he nominates at Tuesday's meeting, assumably, is a yes or a no vote.
Right.
It's not, yeah, I don't like this person. Why didn't you have three people up for me to vote on? It's,
we get
yeah.
a candidate yep. brought forward. If we say no to that candidate, another candidate could be brought forward. But if you say no to the two, you can go back to the first one.
Is that your
so it's so there, if you ever get into a situation where there's your not wanting to, like, someone like to hear, you know, Supreme Court justices, those kind of things. It's not like, you know, that where it's...
You can stonewall it forever, right?
Exactly. It's a, you get a couple shots, and then it's whatever the mayor wants to do.
Yep. We did run into that 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
So, and I believe we confirmed the second nominee, but I think the initial conversation was, we're going to vote this person down too, and then the mayor at the time said, fine, go ahead, I'm going to pick whoever I want, you know, the next time around, and so then they confirmed that.
So it is better to have, if you want to have the conversation with the individual,
yeah,
that's great, but also have the conversation with the mayor,
right,
to clear that if there are any concerns, it's best to have that conversation with the mayor.
Yep.
It's probably better to delay it than to
wait until Tuesday.
Then wait until Tuesday to have a confrontation. All right, anybody else have any other items? Well, thank you. We'll adjourn at 6:41.
Thank you.